2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
What is going on here? What do we have here?
There's a little bit of a buildup.
Is this the band of the day? Is that what you got going on? Oh, wait a minute.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
What is it? Is the band of the day Rodgers and Hammerstein? Is that what's going on? Is that who did this? I look at Jeremy for, oh my goodness. Sound of Music. Yes, the hills are alive with the sound of music, but also we found out this weekend, if you're wondering why this music is playing. This was Rudy during his time before he got back from COVID.
My heart wants to beat like,
you know, I know how hard it is to, when you lose that game shape, to come back. So I really tried to push myself to, you know, I went in the mountain a few times and got a little running in the altitude to try to keep my cardio in.
Oh, I think it was much more than that.
You want something depressing right now?
No, after this music?
No, it's
apropos.
I do not blame Rudy for going up in the mountain and running.
No, absolutely not.
You go up into the mountain and look down into the valley?
Oh, my heavens.
And
we did this skiing over the weekend.
Oh, boy.
We did this. We were up at Snow Basin, and you come out, you go to the backside of the mountain there, and you look down, you went, oh, wow, the clouds are low. And they go, that ain't no clouds, buddy.
We are drinking soup, man. We are drinking soup.
Somebody had the best tweet over the weekend. They go, you know the COVID numbers are bad in the state of Utah when the inversion comes over and drops cookies off and asks if you're doing okay. That's where we're at right now. Wow. We got a lot of things going on in our lives.
Hey,
Rudy, though, getting up into the mountains, feeling good about himself, hitting the cardio.
They went up to the mountain sometimes.
And got a little attitude.
I know where Rudy lives.
Training.
He already lives in the mountains.
Yeah, good for Rudy.
I'm just saying, like, so he's saying he's going up and he's running it down. Like, he's I can just picture him up there probably with Julie Andrews on the soundtrack while he's running. And just, you know.
You think he's, like, pirouetting through the – and kind of dancing through the
– Listen, you know how these high-level athletes are.
With snowshoes on.
Well, you know how these high-athlete
– open meadow and
snowshoes. Yes, these athletes, a lot of times they'll hit them with – when I was in high school, my coach really pushed us to go do ballet lessons for the offensive line.
Yeah.
Half to make fun of us and the other half because it was like, hey, there's something to be said about being light on your toes, fellas.
Well,
figure it out.
Yeah, in my era, it was Lynn Swann did ballet.
Yes.
And look how graceful he is. We all need to do ballet.
Lynn
Swann was everyone's motivation back in the day.
Well, and your last name's Swann, you better act accordingly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So here's what we got. Rudy Gobert coming back against Denver. The Jazz get a massive win. Everything's exciting. Let's kick off the hours we always do, though. With the cut, let's just jump right in here.
The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
When you guys said you were cooking up some music, I did not expect
the hills being alive.
No, yeah. No. Listen, you know, between us.
I like the sound of music.
You know, between that's us, I'm great, the musical guy.
Yeah, it's a great. You are.
I love the musicals, man.
Yeah.
I went and saw Hamilton before COVID shut it down last week.
So I went out socially.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Went to the movie with my son, Zach.
That's right.
Yeah. Saw American Hero, Kurt Warner's story.
Oh, you did?
And I vowed I didn't want to see it.
I'm surprised you actually went and just. Of all the choices that you're going to get me out to the theater for, American Hero, is that what it's called?
I think so.
That's going to be third on my list, probably.
Well,
not because going to the movies now is an event. You know, you got to save up for a few weeks. You got to kind of figure out how you're going to get out there. And I would go see when I was in LA for the Rose Bowl that Sunday after. I'm waiting for my flight. I had a late flight to get out. I went and saw Spider-Man, which is not like me, but I went and saw it, and I loved it.
Was Spider-Man Mitchell in Spider-Man?
No, it was not.
Okay.
No. So I loved it, man.
But what was kind of interesting is my son, who wasn't born when this happened. So Kurt Warner's first game in the NFL played against me.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
So did they have a guy who was dressed up like you in the movie?
No, they didn't ever show any Baltimore Ravens offensive highlights. They showed Ray Lewis and showed how Kurt Warner beat Ray Lewis and all that stuff. That was
okay.
But my name got mentioned in the movie.
It did?
And my son looked at me like, that was you?
So they go, and we're not going to worry about number 19, Scott Mitchell, because he's at the end of his career, man.
So it was hard to watch. They didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you said it was Scott Mitchell.
Well, they referenced my name in the movie, but that was kind of it. That was all there was.
What do you mean it was hard to watch? Because you saw a guy.
Well, what's hard to watch? Here's what's hard to watch, okay? Is everyone has the dream. So, you know, Kurt Warner and his dream of being in the NFL. What was funny is he's bagging groceries, and it, like, his hero was Dan Marino.
Right.
And I'm sitting here going, well, Dan Marino was my teammate, you know? I mean, and so, but I get it. I get that, you know, everyone had this dream, and his route to the NFL was, you know, it took quite a path. But everyone's route takes a path to anything you have success with. And it's just what level of success. And so it's an amazing story. It really is. It's an amazing story.
There were
parts of it that were really touching to me.
Did you cry?
Got emotional, yeah.
But then you're a crier in the first place.
Right. I you know, I'm like Dick Vermeil. I get emotional. I do. I don't apologize for it.
No.
But what was fun is after the movie was over, I sat there for probably 10 minutes with my son and just talked about it. You know, talked about kind of that time in my life and what was going on and my experience in the NFL and kind of what was hard for me watching that movie, but what was also kind of cool about it. And what's hard is the dude won the Super Bowl. I mean, and he got in just such a great place.
I was 18 years old when that whole thing.
In a perfect place for him at that time.
I was 18 years old when that thing was playing out. I guess 19, when they were in the Super Bowl. In that Super Bowl, and the Titans were a quarter of a yard short, you know, of getting that thing in the end zone and winning that thing. And Dick Vermeil, yeah. I mean, the storyline with that Rams team, best show on turf, you know, greatest show on turf. I mean, I remember watching it all year and going, the St. Louis Rams are not even the St. Louis Rams?
Yeah.
That's not even a thing.
Believe me, that's like, what we thought in Baltimore when we were getting ready to play them. Like, they don't have they got a guy who's never played. Playing like the Barnstormers in Iowa in the Arena Football League. Yeah. Like, this is, no. This
How's
is,
he going to beat Ray Lewis and company?
Not going to happen in a million years.
That's wild. I love those stories. So that's now, why we Torrey that's
Holt and Isaac Bruce.
Now, those are names you don't
Marshall
mess with.
Falk, those are some pretty darn good players. Really good players.
We'll call those guys supporting cast. Mm. Marshall Faulk, supporting cast. One of the greatest out of the backfield.
I would take he would be my first choice of every single back in my ear.
Really?
Absolutely. He was amazing.
That shocks. I mean, it doesn't shock me totally, but
Emmitt Smith would be number two.
Huh. And you, is it because you had to hang out in the, maybe if you hung out in the huddle with those guys, you wouldn't. Because it's their
talent, their skill set was.
Look at you, look at you. The grass is always greener. Barry Sanders wasn't that great of a running back when I was a quarterback.
He was an amazing runner.
He was amazing. Okay.
He wouldn't have been my first choice.
That's interesting. I love those kinds of tidbits that we get.
Sorry.
No. I like the tidbits, because who on earth would have thought that you had Barry Sanders you were handing off to, and you said, yeah, but he came with his foibles, too, that made it harder on us.
Yeah.
A lot of third and 11s you had to live with. Scott Rudy Gobert, as we had the music coming back from the break, he and the Jazz split games over the weekend. I think that double-digit, like, you know, that blowout of Denver at Denver, and it's not like Nikola Jokic wasn't playing in that game. Jeremiah Jensen made reference to it, but it's just like the Jazz have had the Nuggets number this year for some reason. And part of it is when Rudy came back and he's healthy and he has that 18 points, 19 rebounds, and the Jazz are back on track. You know, that's my feeling on Saturday night. Or, I mean, on Sunday night, you're kind of going, this is it, man. They figured this thing out. And then to have to turn back around and go to L.A., what stinks for me is we come in and we look up on the TV screen and we're watching, you know, ESPN's up on the screen basically all day long here in our networks, in our studios. And I go, you know what? To have there be a full topic dedicated to the Lakers, you know, and just that big win over the Jazz over the weekend, I'm kind of going, what are we talking about here? What are we doing? The Lakers are no good, and yet they get – and that's what makes it so – that's what I hate so much about it, is that the Jazz have this first win, and you start to feel like, okay, now they're going to start getting back on track. It was the second game of a back-to-back. I get it. And I'm not going to totally melt down. But this week is going to be tough. We talked about how this next week and a half of the Jazz season is going to be very indicative. It might end up being this stretch of games might determine how aggressive Danny Ainge and that front office are going to get, because if they really struggle over these next five games, it's going to be coitons for some of these people who aren't getting the job done.
Here's what annoys me about the NBA, to start with, is this whole schedule thing. Oh, you know, we have to have load management. We have to have back-to-backs, and we have to, you know, it's a scheduled loss. Like, I hear this term, scheduled loss, and it's just annoying to me. Like why schedule, and you know there are going to be losses, and you know that players are going to sit out, and you know that players are going to be tired. Why does it have to be scheduled this way? I would love to hear an answer as to why. And you want to protect these players. You want to protect their careers. You know, I've heard David Locke's argument about, you know, these guys having longevity and being in the league longer, and then change the schedule.
Couldn't you accomplish it? Couldn't you accomplish that by making it, you know, even just making it an 80-game season? 82 always sounds arbitrary to me. It's just like baseball with their 162 games. I'm like, okay, what?
What was wrong with 72 games last year? Did we get bad at basketball?
They look at it and they go, you got 30 teams and you got 10 more games that you're able to squeeze out of this, and that's extra dollars for TV. That's the only part of the equation they look at. And so but then at the same time,
I mean, Jeremiah goes, I'd rather have quantity over, you know, or quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And so that part of it I don't understand, okay? And because you go like it's like they go back to back Denver and L.A. and you know that you're not going to get a great performance from the Jazz. So how why should you even care about that game? It's like, whatever. I'm just gonna you know, forget it.
I'm gonna bring up something else that Rudy said, and it was about and maybe it was the short term, just about where they're at in terms of their winning habits that they have established over the last few weeks.
When I watch some of these other teams, like the Suns, you know, the Warriors, for example, those guys, I think, are a step ahead of us in terms of winning habits. I feel like they take every game personally, and Devin Booker is playing his ass off defensively. I've been watching, you know, guys like that, you know, they buy in, and you can tell that they take pride playing defense, stopping the man, doing whatever they can defensively, be part of a winning culture. And I just think we're not there yet. I think we're going to get there, you know, but I think, you know, those stretches where it really stinks and it hurts, you know, I think going to help us realize that and try to build those habits if we want to be a championship team.
This was my other concern, or not concern, but it's like, I'm really glad Rudy Gobert has actually said this. Because it's like I hear, well, you know, well, we had back-to-back, we've had COVID, we've had – you just hear all these excuses. Well, we know we got to play better perimeter defense. We know we got to play better when Rudy's not in the game. And it's like we know this is what we have to do. We know what we have to do. And you go, well, why don't you do it then?
Right.
I mean, there just comes a point when you just go, you know, the ownership here said we like our guys. We're doubling down. We're not making wholesale changes. We're gonna make some adjustments so that when Rudy's off the court, you know, we still have defense with Hassan Whiteside. We're gonna try to get better perimeter defenders, which they feel like maybe they have in Rudy Gay and some of those changes. You know, maybe Eric Pascal. I don't know, but the Jazz have stayed put, and they're saying, all right, we're gonna be patient with this team. We believe in this team, but there comes a point when you just go, okay, well then make it show up. And I just get tired of hearing, well, we know what we got to do. We know what we got to do. Well, then just go out and do it. I mean, you guys are a veteran team. You've proven that you had the best record in the NBA in the regular season a year ago. Well, you know, yeah, start establishing or change something. Get it going right now. With these habits of winning, because I totally agree with
it. Well, you know what you couldn't
have
said
last year? Like, it doesn't seem to be bothering the Suns. It doesn't seem to be bothering the Warriors.
You know what we couldn't say about this team last year? At this time, you wouldn't go, yeah, but the Jazz don't have those winning habits. Like, they were the number one seed in the West.
Right.
At this point, they were pretty close to, I mean, they were crushing everybody, it seemed like. And, you know, their net rating was huge, and they were winning all these games. Now, I get it. I think that when we look at it, by the end of the year, you're going to look at this stretch as being kind of some dark times because it was pre the trade deadline. At least after the trade deadline, we'll be able to go, we're not talking about the trade deadline anymore. You know, that at least there will be that. And then there was also the time where every other day you had a couple of new guys on the health and safety protocol list. And everybody in the league has done it, but for the Jazz, they did it the latest. Right, and so it's the most disturbing for us to see right now the Jazz going through this because we're pretty short-sighted as fans of sports. Right, we go, why aren't you winning right now? But the part that scares me is that these pros who are in the locker room day in and day out, they've been very critical of each other. We're not a very good team defensively when Rudy's not in there. We can't figure this thing out, man. We've got to get going. We've got to absolutely go at this thing, and we're not very good. We're not having these winning habits. So when you hear the absolute core of the team get critical of this locker room and of the way this team is playing, that's pretty glaringly difficult, you know, as a fan to watch.
Here's my experience. You give people enough time, let them go out, figure it out, see if they can do it. And after a certain period of time, when they're not doing it, that just tells me they can't do it. And so all you hear about is our defense is not very good. Our defense let us down. Our defense let us down. That's what you've heard all along. And it's the perimeter defense when Rudy Gobert is not in the game. And the reality is this team's had enough time to figure that out. And they haven't figured it out. And so something's got to change. Something has to change because you can't expect it to be any different than it is now at this point, I believe.
All right, here's what we're going to do. A couple things. I'm going to should we do the tickets right now? Should we do tickets right now? Might as well. Hey, caller number 12 right now to 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE, and you win a pair of tickets to the Jazz and the Houston Rockets on Wednesday night. 855-340-ZONE. We got a pair of tickets to give away right now, so let's do it. Let's jump in and get that thing done, and let's call our number 12 to 855-340-ZONE. You can win yourself a pair of tickets right now to the Jazz and Rockets. That's tomorrow night right here at Vivint Smart Home Arena.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.